السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله، حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه، وصلى الله على خير خلقه محمد الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اكتبنا منهم، اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك، اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending peace and blessings on His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and His noble family. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the hearing channels of our hearts to His remembrance. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He show us the truth as the truth and help us to follow it, and show us falsehood as falsehood and help us to stay away from it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enlighten our hearts with His words and accept this effort, this gathering, to be for His sake and to make it a means of our salvation on the Day of Judgment. Ameen. So inshallah, we are going to be continuing today on Surah number 74, Al-Muddathir. We had covered the first seven ayahs of this in the last session, which was about a month ago, so perhaps some of us may be a little rusty or forgotten what it was all about. Normally I ask people to read a summary, but I'm going to skip it in the interest of time this time. If somebody has prepared a summary of last visit, last gathering, and wants me to review it, I'll be happy to look at it afterwards.
I would ask you to do it, please. Review it and just...
So inshallah, we are going to start with this. We will read those first 31 ayahs of Surah Muddathir. Then we'll read the English translation. And if somebody has an Urdu translation, we will read that. And then we will go into the tafsir. We're somewhat limited. We're probably going to stop at 7:10 for Maghrib and then continue after that, inshallah, if that's okay with everybody, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر وربك فكبر وثيابك فطهر والرجز فاهجر ولا تمنن تستكثر ولربك فاصبر فإذا نقر في الناقور فذلك يومئذ يوم عسير على الكافرين غير يسير ذرني ومن خلقت وحيدا وجعلت له مالا ممدودا وبنين شهودا ومهدت له تمهيدا ثم يطمع أن أزيد كلا إنه كان لآياتنا عنيدا سأرهقه سعودا إنه فكر وقدر فقتل كيف قدر ثم قتل كيف قدر ثم نظر ثم عبس وبصر ثم أدبر واستكبر فقال إن هذا إلا سحر يؤثر إن هذا إلا قول البشر سأصليه سقر وما أدراك ما سقر لا تبقي ولا تذر لواحة للبشر عليها 19 وما جعلنا أصحاب النار إلا ملائكة وَمَا جَعَلْنَا عِدَّتَهُمْ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيَسْتَيْقِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ وَيَزْدَادَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِيمَانًا ويزداد الذين آمنوا إيمانا ولا يرتاب الذين أوتوا الكتاب والمؤمنون وليقول الذين في قلوبهم مرض والكافرون ماذا أراد الله بهذا مثلا كذلك يضل الله من يشاء ويهدي من يشاء وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَمَا هِيَ إِلَّا ذِكْرَى لِلْبَشَرِ صدق الله العظيم. So we've just read the first 31 ayahs of this surah, and we'll read the English translation.
Sure. O you who are mantled in a wrap, seeking cover out of fear and awe, rise and forewarn. And your Lord thus extol, and your garments thus purify, and shun thus idolatry, nor shall you give anything in search of self again, in self gain. Moreover, with the commandments of your Lord have patience. To God is the ultimate return. For when the horn blast is blown at the end of time, that day, then shall be a most difficult day, utterly without ease for the disbelievers. So leave such a one to me, whom I created alone, and to whom I granted extensive wealth and gave sons to behold, and for whom I paved a smooth way of ease. Yet does he dare hope that I should add more while he disbelieves? No, indeed, it shall not be. For most surely he has been obstinate toward our revealed signs. I shall burden him with ever mounting punishment. Indeed, he thought ill of Allah's message and then determined to suppress it. Hence he is destroyed for how he then determined, and again he is destroyed for how he then determined. Then he considered Allah's revelation. Then he frowned and scowled and turned away and grew arrogant and said, "This Quran is nothing but sorcery acquired from the ancients. This Quran is nothing but the utterance of charms from a mortal. I shall roast him in Saqar, deep in hellfire. Do you realize what Saqar is? It spares none and leaves none. It chars mortals. Over it are 19 angels, nor have we appointed any but the sternest of angels as the keepers of the fire. Nor have we made their number but a trial for those who disbelieve, that those who have been given the scripture might become certain of Allah's revealed truth, and that those who have believed in Islam may increase in faith, and that those who have been given the scripture and those who have believed in Islam shall not doubt the Quran's truth, and that those hypocrites in whose doubting hearts there is a sickness, as well as the disbelievers, might say, 'What did God intend by this as an example?' In this way does God leave to stray whomever he so wills, and thereby he guides whomever he so wills. For none knows the hosts of your Lord but him, nor is this mention of hellfire other than a dire reminder to all human beings of the outcome of unbelief."
Woh jo kapde mein lipte pade ho, utho aur khudaai karo, aur apne parvardigar ki badai bayan karo, aur apne kapdon ko paak rakho, aur napaki se dur raho, aur is niyat se ehsaan na karo ki isse zyada ke talab ho, aur apne parvardigar ke liye sabr karo. جب سور پونکا جائے گا وہ دن کا مشکل دن ہوگا وہ دن مشکل کا دن ہوگا یعنی کافروں پر آسان نہ ہوگا ہمیں اس شخص سے سمجھ لینے دو جس کو ہم نے اکیلا پیدا کیا اور مال کثیر دیا اور ہر وقت اس کے پاس حاضر رہنے والے بیٹے دیے اور ہر طرح کے سامان میں وسعت دی ابھی خواہش رکھتا ہے اور زیادہ دیں ایسا ہرگز نہیں ہوگا یہ ہماری آیتوں کا دشمن رہا ہے ہم اسے سود پر چڑھائیں گے اس نے فکر کیا اور تجویز کی یہ مارا جائے گا اس نے کیسی تجویز کی پھر یہ مارا جائے گا اس نے کیسی تجویز کی फिर तामन किया, फिर तेवरी चढ़ाई और मुंह बिगाड़ा, फिर पुश्त फेर कर चला और कबूले हक से गरूर किया, फिर कहने लगा कि ये जादू है और अगलों से मुंतकल होता आया है, फिर बोला ये खुदा का कलाम नहीं बल्कि बशर का कलाम है, हम अनकरीब इसको सकर में दाखिल करेंगे और तुम क्या समझे कि सकर क्या है, वो आग है ना बाकी रखेगी और ना कुछ छोड़ेगी और बदल जुलसा कर स्याह कर देगी। इस पर
उन्नीस
हैं, हमने दोजख के दरोगा फरिश्ते बनाए हैं और इनका शुमार काफिरों की आजमाइश के लिए मुकर्रर किया और इसलिए कि अहले किताब यकीन करें और मोमनों का ईमान और ज़्यादा हो और अहले किताब और मोमन शक ना लाएं और इसके लिए जिन लोगों के दिलों में नफाक का मर्ज़ है और जो काफर हैं कहें कि इस मिसाल के बयान की क्या वजह है, से खुदा का मकसद क्या है, इसी तरह खुदा जिसको चाहता है गुमराह करता है और जिसको चाहता है हिदायत बख्शता है और तुम्हारे परवरदिगार के लक्षणों को इसके सिवा कोई नहीं जानता और ये तो बनी आदम के लिए नसीहत है।
So inshallah, a few minutes, just the background, if you remember that this is one of the earliest revelations of the Qur'an. The first seven ayahs were believed by most commentators as the second revelation after Iqra, after Surah Alaq. And you are in Makkah, where there is the Quraysh, who are mushrik, who are opposing a new message that has just come. And as we said, there had been a little gap in revelation of maybe 6 months, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encountered Jibreel alayhi wa sallam again, and he went and he was afraid and he wrapped himself up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, as we said, the dithar is the outer garment, stand up, qum fa anzir, warn people, tell them about what is ahead, what is coming ahead. Qum, as we said, means two things, not just physically stand, but be upright yourself and be an example for people. And so make yourself straight first and then warn people. It's not like you don't take care of your own self and you're telling people what to be. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ, and glorify your Lord. Tell them about who Allah is. And Allah is Al-Akbar. And وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَحِّرْ, literally means cleanse your clothes, but thiyab is also used in Arabic for your qalb, your qulub, I mean purify your hearts from everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with all the negative qualities we talked about. وَالرُّجْسَ فَحْجُرْ, and get rid of all things that are unclean, and specifically here it meant the idols that the Kaaba was surrounded by, that people used to worship. وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ, and don't expect back more if you do good to someone. If you're doing good to someone, do it for Allah's sake. Don't expect that this person should even recognize or thank you back or expect anything back. That's one meaning. The other is, don't think that you have done a lot if you are doing something good. You know, like in your worship, you say, oh, mashallah, I'm fasting Nawafil, I'm doing tahajjud, I'm giving charity. Don't think that no matter what you do is a lot, because if you compare it to the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, it's going to be zero. So that's the other meaning. وَلِرَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ, that was the last ayah. And for the sake of your Lord, show patience. And this sabr is in many different aspects. One is to do sabr for your Lord means what Allah has ordered you to do, you patiently persevere, even though it is hard to follow. We are living in an environment where it's difficult to follow Islam. For your Lord, you persevere. It's hard for some people to get up for Fajr, they're sleeping. For your Lord, have patience, get up. So striving to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one form of sabr. It's called sabr ala ta'at, on the obedience of Allah. Then there is sabr anil ma'asi. against, you have patience when you have temptations, when sins are available easily. In fact, sins are promoted. In fact, a sinful life of extravagance and, you know, all kinds of immorality has become the norm of the community, such as where we are living in the world, where it is promoted, where everybody says, oh, everybody else is doing it. You should have sabr for Allah that I am not going to do it, even if I am the only one in the entire Western Hemisphere. That's called sabr. And then the other third concept of sabr is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you with adha, with difficulty, with sickness, with loss and death and whatever else, that under all those circumstances, you persist with patience. And the other sabr here is that if you look at the environment of Makkah, that when you are going to give this message, you are going to be ridiculed, you are going to be persecuted, you are going to have a lot of difficulties, as you know what the early Muslims went through, including Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the extent of being tortured and killed. That in spite of all of that, in spite of all the odds, be patient, means persevere. That's where we finished. Why should you persevere? Now we continue. Because in the end, فَإِذَا نُقِرَ فِي النَّاقُورِ. Because one day, the naqur will be sounded. The naqur here is the trumpet, the sur. Okay, this is another word. Naqara means something that makes noise. Okay, that there will be a noise. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying there will be a day of judgment. One day, naqur, that's a certainty, it's haqq. So just have patience because that day is coming. Have patience with no matter what's going on, because no matter what's going on, it's going to come to an end. No matter who is in power, that's going to come to an end. No matter how much wealth somebody has, it's going to come to an end. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this universe that nothing is permanent. Illa wajha, except the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything was created for destruction. Even the angels will die when that first trumpet is sounded. Okay, so have patience, and this is a lesson for us. No matter how difficult it seems to follow Islam, no matter how much Islamophobia there is, no matter what kind of injustices and tyranny is going on, you know that there is a Rabb, and you know there is a day of judgment, and you know I am going to die, and you know I am going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. That is a certainty. So let me prepare for that no matter what else is going on around me. فَإِذَا نُقِرَ فِي النَّاقُورِ. That one day that trumpet will be blown. And there is an angel by the name of Israfil. In English they translated as Raphael. Who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he read this ayah, he said, how can I stay comfortable? How can I feel comfortable when the one who has been tasked to blow the trumpet has put it in his mouth and has lowered his head? That's because that's how they blow it. Now, when I use the signs, don't take it that it's a trumpet like what you think or a sur like you think. This is in another dimension and it's going to be blown by an angel. We have no concept of what an angel is, okay, in our dimension. The angels are not time limited or space limited or, you know, in 3D or virtual reality. They exist. And what is this sur going to be? What is this this horn going to be, or trumpet? These are just words. Just remember that there will be a sound produced by some device that Allah has called a sur. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how can I rest comfortably when he has already put his mouth on the sur and has lowered his head, waiting for what? The command from Allah, blow it. And when he says, when he has already done it, that means we are towards the end of human history. And this is 1400 years ago. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I am afraid it could come anytime. And it can come anytime. We don't know. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when this is going to happen. So the Sahaba, when they heard this, you know, one is to hear it, that it's going to say, Ya Rasulullah, We are afraid. What should we do? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, alallahi tawakkalna." Say that Hasbunallah, sufficient is Allah for us, and He is the best of wakeel, of one who takes care of you. Wa alayhi tawakkal, and we put our trust in Him. In other words, that we put our trust and our end in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only that person would say that who has led his life in that mode, always putting their trust in Allah, always finding Allah is sufficient for me. I don't have to look for any other one to support me or any other means. So this is how this naqur is, like I said, it's something that is going to, elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's going to level everything. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is the biggest, strongest things we see around? Mountains. Right? Mountains, not little rocks. Mountains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the mountains will be blown into dust, leveled, just from the sound of this trumpet. It's hard to imagine, right? Now you can make the loudest sound, it bounces back like an echo from the mountains. Because I was just in some mountains in Turkey, you gave the adhan, it bounced back. But can sound destroy mountains? Well, we have proof now today. When you have stones in your kidney, do you know what they break it with? Sound waves. Now imagine a frequency of sound that this angel will produce through this means, a frequency that will just make the mountains destroyed. Everything. Now what would happen to human beings? And every other creature. So that's what's going to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this whole universe to be destroyed. And all it will take is one command. And it's not the power of Israfil. And it's not the power of the Sur. It is the command of Allah. Just like He created in the last surah, Khalaqal, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started the creation, now He's talking about the destruction. That everything is in His hand. That was the beginning, this is the end. That was the beginning, this is the end. Then, now, as some of you, or all of you inshallah know, that there are two blowings of the trumpet. The first trumpet is to destroy everything. The first blowing of the sword. Everything will be destroyed. And everyone will die. Then there is a gap. And then there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect Israfil first. Bring him back to life. And say, blow it again. And when he blows it, then people will come back to life. That is the resurrection. That is how we will be gathered. You say, well, how are you going to have hisab if you are all dead? Well, Allah will raise us again in a new form, okay, with that second blowing. So now what we are talking about in this is that second blowing because of what comes after. This is the blowing of the trumpet which will bring all of humanity from Adam alayhi salam till the last child that is born. All will be gathered in the field in a flat ground. Whatever ground, we are using the word ground, something we will be standing on, which will be different than this earth, where there will be no vegetation, no shade, no mountains, it's level. Everybody would be like the day when Allah created them. In other words, they will present themselves naked. Nothing, you have nothing. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, as you know, radiallahu anha, when she heard this, she said, Ya Rasulullah, won't we feel shy standing naked in front of billions of people? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and said, Ya Aisha, that day is going to be so difficult that no one will be aware of anything else or anyone else. They will not be, you know, aware of their nakedness. They will be afraid of what's going to happen. So that is the day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, فَذَٰلِكَ and that, يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوْمٌ عَسِيرٌ. That is the day, عُسْر is difficulty. Asir, the most difficult of days. And in the Arabic, this is called a nakira, undefined. When it's undefined, it's not al-asir, it's asir. When it's undefined, means it's unlimited. That is the eloquence of Arabic, to say that there is no limit to the difficulty of this day. This day is going to be super difficult. And in the hadith, it's mentioned that that day is going to be equivalent to us like 50,000 years. Now that's a hadith. Now for us to imagine, we don't know what 50,000 years is like. I mean, we live 100 years maybe. 50,000 seems like a long time. Well, this is like that. That's one day. And that's the day of judgment. And it's going to be difficult. Difficult even for the Anbiya. How difficult? Because the Prophet ﷺ tells us that everyone on that day would be saying nafsi, 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 including the Anbiya, the messengers of God, the prophets. Nafsi, nafsi, me, save me. How can I save myself? Everybody would be concerned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions elsewhere in the Quran that that the son will run away from the father. The husband and wife would not care about each other. The mother with the baby doesn't care. Nobody will care about anyone except themselves. It's such a horrendous day, such a scene. And we don't want to go into the details of that because we'll never finish. That it is a very, very difficult day. So difficult that finally some of the people will go to the angels and say, tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put us in Jahannam. We can't take this anymore. And this is, they don't know what's ahead. Inshallah, Allah will protect all believers on that day and give us shade on that day, because there will be no shade on that day. Okay. So after saying it is so difficult, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then specifies one more. He says, عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ غَيْرُ يَسِيرُ. And he said, and especially for the kafir, the disbelievers, there will be no ease. Yes, yusra is ease. عَسِيرُ عُسْرَ is difficulty, this is ease. There will be no ease for the kafir. This is the first mention of the word kufr in the revelation of the Quran. Okay, this is the first ayah in which the word kafara or kafir was mentioned. Okay, afterwards you have kafir and mu'min, but kafara, just before we take a break, kafara in Arabic means, easy to remember, kavara, to cover something. Okay, so what is the meaning? In fact, like the farmer is, when he puts his seed, that's called kafara. He's covering them up. Okay. So why is it person called kafir or kafara? Means he is covering something. What is he covering? The truth. That Allah exists. That there is a day of judgment. So he knows the truth, but he puts a cover. He says, no, there's nothing. The other word that the word kafir is used is to show ingratitude, to be thankless. And this is the early use of the word kafara. And that's how we will see. What does that mean, ungrateful? All of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he puts a cover on them, says, no, this is me. My intelligence, my smartness, my earning, my inheritance, my this and my attributes, all the blessings of Allah to himself. My skills, you know, I'm so skilled. I'm such a great trader. I'm such a great doctor. I'm such a great engineer. Whereas everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm so healthy. Look how I work out. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taking the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his blessings, and putting a cover by saying, no, this is not, this is my answer. This is another use of the word kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word kufr opposite to shukr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you thank me, I will increase my blessings on you. And the opposite, وَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ, he uses the word kufr. عذاب الله لشديد. Allah's punishment is shadeed. Then he also uses the word kufr versus iman. Okay, later on in the Quran. But here, that's what it is. Now, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after saying it's a most difficult day, he says, and for the disbelievers, there will be no ease. Now, there is a concept which is called mafhum al-mukhalafa, which means if you have a statement, the opposite of it can be derived. So when you say it's going to be there'll be no ease for the disbelievers, what is the mafhum al-mukhalafa of it? What would be the opposite you can derive from it? Yes, yes, that there will be ease for the believers, just the opposite. Okay. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all ease. We are going to take a break now, inshallah, and continue after that. JazakAllah subhanahu wa ta'ala.